Kind Father, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for yet another chance, another time, another opportunity to come before your presence, to hear from you, to hear what you have to say for us and to us, God. I ask you, as I come before you, come before your throne, come before your presence, God, I just yield myself, I make myself available to you. I take me out of the way, move me out of the way, move all hindrances, all stumbling blocks, all things, all distractions, all things like that that get me, get in the way between me and you. God, let everything that I say be what you want me to say. Speak to my heart, speak through me like never before. Let the words of my heart, mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Good morning, City Reach and the world. Thank you so much for joining with us again. As we sit, as we chill, we're going to have a little talk today about fear not. You know, a lot of things are going through our lives. A lot of things are going through our minds. And God has plans for us. God has a purpose and a plan for you. I say this all the time. And sometimes the purpose and the plan that God has for us would not be something that we would choose on our own, because there seems too big for us to handle, or seem like something we can never handle on ourselves or on our own. And that's because God wants you to deal with that, go through that with him, right? All right, so we're going to start this series called Fear Not. Don't be afraid of what God plans for you. How many of you guys out there have plans and made plans for 2020? And how many of those plans came through? Not mine. This was my 10th year wedding anniversary. My wife and I were going to celebrate our 10th year of being happily married, and we were going to have made plans to go away to Bora Bora or somewhere, Bora Bora or Thailand or Taiwan or Taekwondo or somewhere. We're supposed to go somewhere overseas and celebrate 10 years of marital bliss. And then something called COVID happened, and all of our plans just went, you know, a lot of our plans, a lot of ideas, especially in the beginning of the year, we all made plans. This is 2020. This is going to mean something. It's like the year of vision. This is a year of focus. We're going to be, it's a great thing. 2020 is my year. And not knowing what God had in store for us throughout this year. And sometimes God has plans and things that are, you know, that are bigger, that are more exciting, that are more than what we even think or even imagine. And we can get so, sometimes get so fearful about what God is telling us to do, what God has given us an idea. But even in, like he says in the scriptures, like fear, you know, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a strong mind. So don't be fearful of the things that God wants you to do. Don't be fearful of the ideas and the plans that God has for you, even because he knew what you were going to do. He knew what you were going to be before you were born. Even in your womb, God knew you. Even before your mother met your father, God knew you. My wife and I started watching, actually just finished watching a series called Married at First Sight. If you want some brainless activity and something to splurge on with your family, with your husband, with your wife, I highly recommend watching this series, Married at First Sight. It's clean entertainment, sort of clean entertainment, but it's entertainment. And for one thing, for me, it makes you appreciate your marriage and your wife, because you're not involved with the situations that are happening on this show. Long story short, what happens is these couples, these single men and these single women all gathered together. They all come into like a contest. Thousands of entrants are gathered together, and they have these professionals, marriage counselors. They have a minister, and they have a relationship experts that go through the test and everything. Everybody takes a test. They go interviewed, and they pick out for the show. This was in Charlotte, North Carolina this year. Four couples to get together they don't meet, they don't introduce them. The first time the two couples are introduced is at the altar. So, and they trust these professionals enough to trust that they answered everything correctly, and using their expertise, they pair them together with they think should be the ideal spouse. So when they meet at the altar for the very first time, they're just meeting and they're getting married, a legal marriage. And the only way out of it is a legal divorce. And so after 8 weeks, they come together and they decide whether they're going to stay married or they're going to, you know, or get or part their ways and get a divorce. And this is all on the up and up. But this is real. It's like, how many of you trust somebody or trust an expert so much that you trust your relationship with them? You trust your singleness with them? That you say, you guys, I've tried it. I've tried this dating scene. I've tried, I don't know how you use those stuff, Facebook, Meet, Tinder. I don't know. I'm too old for all this. Yeah, that's for hookups. Tinder is for hookups. You can't get married off of Tinder. So that's a little tip from me to you. Okay, if you're looking to get married, you can't go to Tinder. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'll send your offerings to. So they trusted these experts, and it's like to the life, and they said, okay, we trust you, and they get a call. So, well, you've been picked, and you're gonna get married in 2 days, and they're like, wow. So they gotta get their girls, get the girls together, the guys get their guys together, they get the dress, they get the tux, and then they meet at a certain location, and they're meeting the family at the same time. They're meeting the loved ones and at the same time. And then all of a sudden, here comes down the aisle this bride. And they trust the experts so much that, okay, they're going to give it a try. And I thought about that. I was like, wow, how many of us, these couples trust these experts with their singleness and with their marriage and with their reputation, that they trust them. And they, okay, you know what's best. I believe you, and I'm going to, you know, trust you. Thousands of applicants signed up for this. How many of us trust God that much? These people, these experts, only know what the applicants tell them. These experts are making their estimated or their expertise or their guess based on the evidence that's provided to them by the people, that the clients that are coming before them. They know nothing about these people until they look on the application and do interviews and things like that. But God made us. God knows us. So why not trust God? Why not try God? So let's go to the scripture. We have our own, almost like a marriage at first sight type of situation that we're going to be talking about. But this is marriage at first sight, or not marriage at first sight, but birth, marriage plus birth at first sight. When we talk about the virgin birth of Mary with Jesus, if you go to the book of Luke, the first chapter, starting with the 26th verse, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child at her old age. And she who has said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. And you think about that. I'm sure Mary was betrothed, or Mary was engaged to Joseph, and she had her plans. She, you know, was not marriage at first sight, but I would imagine it was an arranged wedding at during those times, because that's what they did. But she had her goals. She had her plans. I'm gonna meet this marry Joseph. We're gonna go together. We're gonna live this way, and we're gonna and get to know each other. And in a certain amount of time, we're gonna have kids and have babies and raise our families together. And then all of a sudden, she gets a knock on the door. An interruption. God had interrupted her plans. How many of us would respond the way Mary responded? How much of us would actually open a door if God were knocking on our door to interrupt our plans? I know, I kind of like, whoa, look, God, I had this all planned out. When I was growing up, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that, I wanted to go to school here, I wanted to do that, I wanted to have this kind of job, I wanted to make this money, I wanted to live here, I wanted to do all this, and I wanted to go out and have my fun before I, you know, do what God's called me to do. You know, I'm not ready to go to God right now. I'm like, I'm too young. I want to live, you know, let me be great, you know. But God's like knocking, knock, 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 I got something for you. But here's the thing. God's interruptions are often inconvenient. Because sometimes, you know, God's plans are not our plans. His ways are not our ways. And we are so caught up in our mind that we want to do this, we want to do there, we want to go that. And sometimes God comes and interrupts our plans because he wants something different for you. And sometimes it's inconvenient. And it's like, wow, God, really? All these people, you know, God could have picked somebody that was already married. But no, God chose a virgin that was betrothed, that was engaged. And I could imagine, what are they going to think about me? I know the saints be talking. They talk all the time. I know, because somebody's not getting married. Somebody wanted Joseph. And now here I am. I'm going to be getting married, but all of a sudden I'm going to have this baby out of wedlock. Joseph, what is Joseph going to think about me? He could put me away. And there goes my dreams. There goes my plans. And I thought I was going to get married and have the baby after marriage. It's what we're trained to do. But here I am. I'm going to get married, or I'm betrothed to get married, and I'm going to have this baby. What are they going to think? What is my family going to think about me? How can I explain to my mom and dad, I got visited by this angel. What? Yeah, this angel came and said that I'm going to have a baby. What? Are you, you know, what you been drinking? You got the COVID, you lost your mind or something? Like, no. Well, what is Joseph going to say? Yeah, Joseph, I know we were about to get married, but surprise, I'm going to be pregnant. And Joseph's like, I didn't touch you. He could have put her away. But it was legal to him to do that, but he didn't. What are the neighbors going to say? What are my friends going to say? I'm sure she had all of that going through her mind. But nevertheless, she kept going. She did what God's called her to do. So God's interruptions are often inconvenient because God's purpose is often different than our plans. His purpose for our lives, we are born with a purpose. We are born on purpose. We are not here by mistake. We are not here by chance or circumstance. God never makes mistakes. He does everything with a purpose and plan. He does everything strategically. He does everything on purpose and for a reason. He just never just does something that's, let me try this. I think I like that. No, he does everything on purpose. You'll never hear God say, I never saw that happening. God does everything on purpose, for a purpose, and for a reason. And sometimes just because he has a purpose, it may not line up with ours because we have our own ideas. We have our own free will. And sometimes it doesn't align with what God has for us, but it's often different than what we have. And if we want to do what's best for us, we want to do what God's called us to do. We want to do what our maker has done. We want to do the God that created us, the God that gave us our reason, the God that gave us life, the God that gave us our dreams and our visions. We want to do what God wants us to do. That way we'd be the most get the most impact out of our lives if we do what God's called us to do. So just as the heavens are higher than the earth, just as God's ways are higher than our ways, it's just like that God knows what's best for us even when we don't know it. Even when we think we know what's best for us. You know, I'm grown. I'm 20 years old. I'm 18 years old. I know what I want. I know what I want to be in life. I'm fine. I went to school. I went to enough of school. I don't need no more school. I just want to go out there and work. I don't, you know, and like, oh, you don't just want your... No, I'm good. You know, I want this. I work for this. I graduated high school and I want to do what I want to do. I want to be grown. Let me be great. And you get out there and like, the world comes at you and it's like, yeah, maybe you were right. You know, maybe I shouldn't have hanged with those friends. Maybe I shouldn't have bought that car. Maybe I should have, you know, waited a little bit and not gotten that relationship with that person. Or maybe I should have, you know, not take that job because that's not what's best for me. Or, you know, God knows what's best for us. But here's the thing. Everything that we go through, God works everything out for all things out for our good to those that love him and those that are called to his purpose. Right? And a lot of times, the lessons that we learn are not our wins. Sometimes the best lessons that we learn are our mistakes. I say this all the time. We either win or we learn. We never lose. And it's in that process, that learning process. We might think it's a losing process. We might think it's a negative cycle. But it's a learning process. It's when we know what's best about God, how good God is, how strong God is, how faithful God is. But we also will learn a lot about ourselves. And once you know about God and once you know about yourself, you can do what God's called you to be. Do. And you can be who God's called you to be. Once you know who God is in your life and once you know who you are, you could be the best version of you that God wants you to be in the beginning when he made you, when he created you. He doesn't want you to be a carbon copy of this person. He doesn't want you to be like that. He wants you to be uniquely you. And it's a lot of times those situations that we think are negative in our lives. We think that we're making mistakes, but it's God adjusting and correcting and ordering our steps to line up to what God wants us to be in the first place. And it's with those mistakes and it's with those setbacks and it's with those fallbacks that we know how strong God is, that we know how good God is. And what's happening is we come out of those tests with the testimony. And we come out with a witness like, you know, God can help me through this because he helped me through that. God was able to get you through that divorce because I've been through a divorce. God can help you get through that loss of a loved one because I made it through a loss of a loved one. God can help you because you lost all your hair because I lost all my hair. God is just that good. Amen? Because his plan, his purpose is different than our plans. But I just knew when I was a kid, I was always going to have hair. God knew different. But you know what? And he I was about to say it, but I couldn't get it out fast enough. He hooked me up with a woman that likes bald-headed men. Praise to Jesus. Praise God. Type amen in the comments if you hear me. Type amen in the comments. I need an amen in the house. All right. So you think about that. So God's interruptions are often inconvenient. God's purpose are often different than our plans. So I'm thinking about that. What is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to believe? What if God said to you recently or lately? What is your plans for the coming year? God has said something. You made it here for a reason. He's taking things away. The things that you thought you wanted to do this year haven't worked out. And your ideas have changed and your thoughts have changed. Your priorities have changed. A lot of us are doing different things than we thought we were going to do at the beginning of the year. A lot of businesses have opened up. A lot of entrepreneurs have started out. A lot of relationships have started and a lot of relationships have ended. God has said, saying something to you. What is God saying to you that's scary? that makes you fearful. Think about it. And go to God and say, look, how can I do this? Help me plan this out. Help me to do what you called me to do. Some people say God's telling you to start a ministry. Some people, God is telling you to go back to college. Some people tell God's telling you to start a business. Some people telling God you to start out a venture and start that passion, that thing that you wanted to do for so long, the thing that allows you to breathe, the thing you can't get away from. He wants you to go with that and to make money at it. Let that be your life. Let that be your living and not just go to a job, but make a living. He wants you to live abundantly more. What's your response to God calling you? What's your response to God interrupting your plans? What's your response to God's purpose being different than your plans? If you look at Mary, you know, her response is, you know, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I'm your servant. Most of all, I know I'm a daughter. I know I'm a child. I know I'm ready to be married. I know I'm, you know, but most of all, I'm your servant. Use me as you see fit. Because here it is. The outcome is God's responsibility, but your obedience is yours. What God said is all on him. What God planned is all on him. He's never a liar. Everything he says comes to pass. Everything he plans out happens the way he does. It may not be in your time, but it be in his time. So that's on him. The outcome is God's responsibility, but the obedience is yours. You can't come through unless you do something. You always, when I said this before, you always want to hear when it's all said and done, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in and enjoy the joys of the Lord. But you can't hear a well done until there's a well do. God will anoint and walk out your plans and you walk out your steps. But you can't walk out your steps if you're not moving. If you're not going anywhere, there's no steps that being made. So there's nothing in order. You're out of order when you're staying still. You're out of order when you're not doing what God's called you to do. When you're out of order, when you're walking and being overcome with the spirit of fear, that demon called fear. You're out of order and God can't bless you. God can't put you to your purpose when you're stuck on scared. Don't stay there. Even if you're afraid, do it afraid. Do it afraid. What's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? I said this before. You either win or you learn. We win or we learn. We never lose. So if you do it afraid. Either you win or you learn. And you do it again. What's the worst? That's the worst that can happen. Do it afraid. And go overcome that fear with what? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So let's do like Mary did. She got the news. She got interrupted. Her plans got interrupted. Her thoughts, her dreams, her visions got interrupted because God had a better plan for her, because God wanted to use her as a vessel to bring forth the Messiah. God wanted to use her as a vessel to bring forth the Son of God. God wanted to use her as a vessel to bring forth the Jesus that will come and save the world and take away all of our sins. He will be that perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. She did that for us. And then came Jesus. He did that for us too. He was that willing sacrifice to live and die for us, to preach his sermon and to do what God's called him to do so that we may be able to have eternal life. All this, he did this for you. Why? Because he loves us. That's the whole reason. That's the reason why we're here. God loves us so much because he wants us to do what God's called him to do. He wants us to live. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be in good health. He wants us to do and excel at life. He wants us to be a blessing to others. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply and be with everything that God's called us to do. He doesn't want us to be stagnant. He doesn't want us to be stuck on fear. He wants us to be operate on faith. Even if we don't know, just do it. Do what God's called you to do. He'll order those steps. You might hurt, you might fall, but you never fail. Because you either win or we. That's all. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Call us the salvation ABCs. A, acknowledge or admit that you are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Salvation ABCs, acknowledge, believe, confess. It's just that simple. Let's close our hearts. Close our eyes and let's pray this prayer. Pray after me. So, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Listen. Thank you so much for joining with us. I want to get in contact with you. I want to communicate with you. I want to connect with you. I need you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I love you all. God bless you. Have a great day.